Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The Cabinet has agreed in principle to enact a Freedom of Information Act that will set out, quote, clear parameters and guidelines for the public to access information for the government from the government and public agencies. Now, this also means that the Official Secrets Act will also be amended. But how does this work in practice? How would a federal level Freedom of Information Act improve government transparency and accountability? Well, let's ask someone who's working towards making Parliament and the Malaysian government more open, transparent and accountable. Joining me now is Isa Cheng, Program Officer of SINAR Project, which is a civic tech initiative using open technology, open data and policy analysis to make important information public and more accessible to Malaysians. Thank you so much for joining me today, Isad. Could we begin our conversation maybe by you briefly explaining the work that SINAR Project does and how you operate within the current framework of access to government information?
Thank you, Melissa. SINAR Project started as a parliamentary monitoring organization trying to make parliament documents available online. And then from that point, we go to making government documents available online. And during that period, around 2014, not all government and parliamentary documents are online. And we also use Freedom of Information enactment in Selangor and Penang to access and get some of the documents by the government, for example, some of the reports regarding rivers or pollution, as well as some of the statistics that they do not publish in granular detail as in the open data policy at the federal level.
Right. Okay, so how do you envision a federal level Freedom of Information Act changing the landscape for organizations like SINAR Project that focus on government transparency and accountability? What's your reaction to the news that the Cabinet in principle has agreed to do this? Eventually, we might have a Freedom of Information Act at the federal level.
I think it's great news, particularly if people remember, last year was actually the 50th anniversary of Official Secrets Act, and that would certainly change the dynamics of information disclosure by governments. With OSA, governments have a default position where, by default, data and information are secret unless they are disclosed to the public. So we having an FOI would change that dynamic, and we're striving more towards publication of data by default. Open by default.
Okay. Well, wonderful. So the Prime Minister's Office rightly pointed out that it will be crucial to have kind of clear parameters and guidelines to enable public access to information effectively. I'm wondering, you know, just based on your work, what do you think would be the key provisions of that to ensure that it effectively serves its purpose?
Number one, I think there should be enough resources for governments to implement it or on the government servants' part, as well as trying to ease the process to the citizens who want to acquire the information. Freedom of Information enactment in both Penang and Selangor are mostly in-person submissions, over-the-counter payments. So if the government can streamline this with some of their digitization efforts, that would be really helpful for the public to get more info.
Okay, so you mentioned over-the-counter payments. I understand that requesting data from the government requires payment, so you have to pay for data. Is that something that needs to be addressed?
Some government departments, yes, require the payments to be paid, but there are also open data policy that you can request the data for free, but it's disaggregated, and we hope with FOI, there is more streamlined process, as well as the payments also varies between the enactments. For example, in Penang, it's more expensive than in Selangor.
Right. Okay. So the how much you pay for data also varies according to state. So I wonder how much it would cost for the different ministries and agencies at the federal level. Are there any concerns or challenges that you anticipate for the implementation of future legislation of freedom of information?
The challenges would be the same problems or the same limitations that the state government experience. Do they have enough resources to appoint information officers that can handle the requests? Does the officer receive enough training and provisions of understanding of the law? when it comes to channels of grievances or dissatisfaction, can they properly conduct the process of appeal at the appeal board, and will there be a proceeding, for example?
Okay, that's interesting. How often are requests for information unsuccessful, based on your experience or based on Sinar Project's experience?
Unfortunately, on the Selangor and Penang, sometimes some of the reasons may not be as per valid grounds as the law, and that's when the appeal comes into place. But unfortunately for Selangor, for example, they have an appeal board, but since the comments of the enactment, the appeal board had not had any proceedings in Selangor, as well as the members and the chairman of the appeal board has not been newly appointed pending their expiration last time.
Okay, so would it be something to consider, perhaps an independent body to ensure that the Freedom of Information Act is complied with? What do you think?
Certainly, but one of the aspects that I see from the government is that they're streamlining probably FOI with one of the upcoming ombudsman bill. So I'm not sure in that sense. Probably there's connection there, but one thing I try to make to ensure that governments can efficiently implement this is to ensure enough resources and that the government servants are not necessarily burdened with the additional role of disclosure of information to the public.
Okay. Can I ask you, if the Act comes into being in the next couple of years, what are you most excited to be working on at Sinar Project?
I think particularly interesting would be some of the previously contentious or controversial access of information, for example, asset declarations of some of the MPs or some of the ADUNs, or some of the allocation from the ADUN or the members of parliament. That would be really interesting to see, as well as this other data that are not previously explored that are published by government that we can finally see how it looks like.
Wonderful. Issa Chung there, Program Officer of Sinar Project. We're going to take a very quick break here and consider this. We'll be back with more on this topic. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our discussion about how a federal level Freedom of Information Act could improve government transparency and accountability. This comes as the Cabinet has agreed in principle to enact a Freedom of Information Act, amend the Official Secrets Act, and also to finally table the Government Procurement Act. Joining me on the show now to discuss this further is Sri Munyati Yusuf, more affectionately known as Uni. She's a Deputy Research Director at the think tank Ideas Malaysia. Now, her research areas include government procurement and fiscal transparency, having authored the Ideas policy paper on improving transparency and accountability in Malaysia's public procurement system. Uni, thank you for joining me on the show today. I'm wondering whether we could begin our conversation as a researcher in the area of public procurement. Could you maybe highlight some of the areas and some of the challenges that within the procurement process that where maybe increase of access to information could lead to improvements?
Well, the basic principle in government procurement is to have a greater accountability is to have transparency, right? So I think there's a major assumption that transparency will lead to better accountability, hence reducing corruption, hence encouraging government officials to be more effective and efficient. So as of now, most of the information that we have on government procurement is quite limited. So of course we have rules in, we have all circulars for everyone's information. Anything on processes are actually available online. So we know what kind of procedures that government officials need to adhere to. However, the decision on awarded tenders is quite limited. And for example, processes leading to the selection of these tenders are also limited. We have now my procurement website in which the information on awarded tenders are available. However, the information is only have the winner and the value of the contract. Who are the bidders? What are the reason of their selections is not available to the public. The processes is also limited. For example, in some point, there's a process in which sometimes government procuring entities change the method of procurement. This information is not available to the public. So having a greater access to information, especially through freedom of information, will enable the public, and especially I think those who are interested stakeholders like contractors can ask for this information. Why suddenly, like I remember bidding for this project, oh, you change your method of procurement now to direct negotiation. So we can have that access to information if we have freedom of information law.
Okay, and how would that benefit the entire bidding process, the entire procurement process? How would having that information for the stakeholders, how would that benefit or improve the process in a way?
One, I think this is exactly the example that just mentioned, changing method of procurement. Ideally, all procurement that is in big value, actually annually more than 500,000 as of now, has to be conducted through tenders, for example. If suddenly government authority for some reason change the direct negotiation contract, we can then ask why, especially if then the direct negotiation contracts are awarded not to contractors that is actually capable of doing it. Or if suddenly we know this contract should not be at all delivered to direct negotiation. So in the case like that, then we can ask for demanding accountability. Have we get better value for changing method of procurement? Do we get a better contractor who can actually deliver on time and on budget, and of course, you know, achieve the best outcome of the procurement?
Okay, all right. So I want to kind of deep dive into this proposed Procurement Act, if I may. I know you and IDEAS have been talking about this for many years, been championing having a government Procurement Act. But to be completely honest, it's not good enough just to have an act for the sake of having a Procurement Act. Only content would be crucial, be really important. What would you like to see within the Procurement Act to make sure that it is effective in its objectives?
I think for now, what I would like to see is one, actually elevating the principles that we are currently have under the circulars. We all have, I think the circulars are quite extensive and actually quite comprehensive in a way. So we have methods of procurement, principles of procurement, anything actually are in circulars. But because of this, their status of circulars, they do not have stronger force of law compared to Act. So having Government Procurement Act, of course, not all the details can be included in this, but the basic principle, if we follow the ancestral model of procurement law, for example, this is a global UN model for procurement law, that there should be principles of what is the objective of procurement activities. There should be outlining methods of procurement, what kind of condition for this, the use of method of procurement, why they're using it, transparency level, and then of course complaints proceeding. If you have problem, if somebody's not happy with the process, it's a complaint proceeding. And of course, in some cases, if we can also put into place what kind of penalties if then violations of the rules take place. Of course, it cannot be, maybe the rules, the the punishment can be administrative, and sometimes maybe it can be granted through the process of review, which is a complaint proceeding. So it doesn't have to be criminal procedures, but there should be a room for violations of the rules that should be that should have some consequences, right? So we can build into the Government Procurement Act, and most importantly, it should cover wide enough procurement activities, right? Because say, for example, if we only if these rules only apply to tenders, what happened to concession? What happened to public-private partnership? What happened to procurement of DLCs? What happened to procurement of statutory bodies? So it should be large enough that actually all types of government procurement should be covered by this law.
Uni, is there a danger if it is so wide-ranging to cover all types of procurement? Is there a danger of it either being too diluted or not specific enough? You know, that getting that balance is going to be crucial.
Well, law, I think if we use legislation, we cannot be too narrow. So legislation will have some form of general principle, but cannot be too general that, you know, everything, say, for example, method of procurement can be included. If we follow the ANCITRA model, should be included as these are the methods that are allowed. And these are the conditions. For example, direct negotiation is one of the methods. It's valid as a method, but these are the conditions, and this condition is outlined in the law. So this thing cannot be changed as easily, right? If circulars, people can change it. Ministers can change it. I want to change it today to something else. Condition want to change. If it's law, legislation, it can be very difficult to change because you have to go to parliament. So there are certain, but we cannot be too detail that is very difficult for procuring officer to move. So finding this balance is very important. So for me, I think right now it's very important for the government to actually publish the policy direction of this law, right? What do you want to include in this? If I compare to Fiscal Responsibility Act, the process for FRA has been always quite good. I think, well, compared to other law, we've been, I think the government has disclosed the plan even since 2018. So we know roughly what is the direction of the Fiscal Responsibility Act. These are the elements. What do you want to include? So in almost every fiscal outlook documents, which usually table to government during budget year, during budget speech, we can always find information on what's the design of Fiscal Responsibility Act that we are expecting. For Government Procurement Act, we haven't had any this kind of documents in which the government outlined the plan for what is included. So I guess maybe that can be started, something that the government should start from, at least from the next budget, the coming budget.
Have you heard or do you know of whether or not there is a policy direction for this law in the works at all?
I think so. Ideas with some other organization were invited for a small consultations about maybe several months ago, and they shared with us that they have been a discussion within the ministry on where the direction is. I mean, it's good that they involve us at this point as well, but I think a greater discussion, right, with industry, most importantly with industry, with stakeholders, at least even if, of course, if it's good if they can, you know, publish the draft of the legislation, but at least the policy direction, what's the coverage, what's going to be in it, what is going to be like, say, for example, whether concession will be regulated separately, whether public-private partnership will be regulated separately, whether this apply to GLC. So all these things should be laid out at the policy concept, the white paper or what you call it. But at least we know the direction of this legislation. Excellent. So I think should not be rushed. I believe that we should not be at this point. I mean, Fiscal Responsibility Act by right should be tabled soon. Or at least, you know, first reading and allow the member of parliament to discuss it or being briefed properly. But Government Procurement Act, we have not even seen what the concept look like. So I think they can start with publishing the policy directions of the legislature.
I think it's been reported that both the Government Procurement Act and the Fiscal Responsibility Act would be maybe tabled by year end, so in the upcoming parliamentary sessions. Oni, can I come back to something that you said a little bit earlier? You talked about part of how in this Government Procurement Act, there should be room to address for redress, room for to discuss violations or a lack of compliance. How do we do that if it's involving the government? Do we need an independent body like an ombudsman to ensure that this is done in a fair and transparent manner?
Let me start with this. As of now, because of the CPTPP, we are actually required to establish a process in which stakeholders, especially those who are involved in procurement, basically contractors, should complain, should be able to file complaints on whatever their grievances, right? If they see, if they're not happy with the decision, if they see that, you know, the process has not been followed, or if there are discipline within the CPTPP government procurement chapter are being violated. So they have that mechanism. In fact, right now the government has that a temporary mechanism in place for 3 years from now until we have a permanent one. So I think there are many choices. Some countries use court system, so being very, it's very serious, you know, you have to go to court and present cases. They use tribunal, so it's a little bit less serious. Some also use, I think, as you said, ombudsman. So choices are, and here again, a policy note is very important. I'm saying this again and again because that's where discussion can happen. As of now, we don't know what it is. I mean, there are ideas hasn't formed our own position on in it as well. Of course, there are other experts who can be, well, you can interview as well on what kind of choices do we have. Especially, of course, we don't want the system to be too lenient, but not too strict, and that it will make procuring officer difficult, you know, afraid of moving things. So it should be balanced in between giving accountability, providing room for accountability, but at the same time flexibility, and at the same time is able to, as you said, provide redress, right? Say for example, if I'm a contractor, I know that my offer is the best and I follow all the rules, but hey, suddenly somebody else got it, so I should be able to, and I know that, so I should be able to know why that decision has been made. Why is this? Yeah, so all this process can be facilitated by this complaint proceeding.
Well, I think maybe what you're also alluding to is kind of the opaqueness of the ways the procurement system works sometimes. Can a government procurement act stop political interference or ministerial abuse of power when contracts are awarded?
That one will need to take some time, but if really we have independent complaint proceeding mechanism, I think this will actually prevent some politician to use their power to intervene in procurement process, because any complaint, if a complaint filed and then, you know, contractors are really, really like, I really want to know what's happening with my contract, then they will be quite careful in using their power to intervene in procurement process. So there is a possibility, but of course, we cannot rely mostly on Government Procurement Act. There needs to be a greater independence of civil service. We need other institutional reform in place so that, you know, the use of interventions in political intervention in procurement process can be limited.
Thank you so much for speaking with me, Sri Munyati Yusof from think tank Ideas Malaysia. Wrapping up this episode of Consider This, I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.